Most of those who believe they should stop find it very difficult to do so. They find it's become a deeply ingrained habit, a habit they can't change just because they want to.
It's the same old thing. All anyone wants me to say is to be or not to be.
That is the question, whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and
yes,
arrows
it's
of
it's either that or, oh, that this too solid flesh should
would melt, thaw, and resolve itself into a dew. Or that the everlasting had not fixed his cannon gates self-slaughter.
Yes, all that sort of thing. I'm just getting really fed.
Do the bit about, alas, poor Yorick.
No, I'm sick of it. I want to do something else. I want to make something of my life.
No, I don't know that bit.
I want to get away from all that, be different.
Well, what do you want to be?
A private dick.
Private dick?
Yes, a private dick.
Why do you want to be a private dick?
Oh, why does anyone want to be a private dick? Fame, money, glamour, excitement, sex.
Ah, it's the sex, is it?
Well, that's one of the things, yes.
What's the sex problem?
Well, there's no problem.
Now, come on. You've got this girl on the bed, and she's all ready for it.
No, it's nothing to do with that.
No, come on. There she is. She's all ready for it. She's a real stunner. She's got great big tits. She's really well stacked. And you've got her legs up against the mantelpiece.
All right, Mr. Hamlet, I'll take over. Morning, Mr. Hamlet. My name's Natal. Sorry to keep you waiting. Now, what seems to be the problem?
Well, I was telling the other psychiatrist...
He's not a psychiatrist.
Oh, you said he was a psychiatrist?
Well, yes. He is a kind of psychiatrist, but he's not a proper psychiatrist. He's not fully qualified in quite the sort of way that we should want. Anyway, the problem, I believe, is basically sexual, is it?
I asked him that!
Get out! Now then, you've got the girl on the bed. You've been having a bit of a feel-up during the evening. You've got your tongue down her throat. She's got both the legs up on the mantelpiece.
Dr. Natal, out, please!
I'm talking to your face.
Out, please!
Oh. I'm terribly sorry, sir. We have a lot of trouble here with bogus psychiatrists. One of the risks in psychiatry, I'm afraid. Unfortunately, they do tend to frighten the patient, and they can cause real and permanent damage to the treatment. But I assure you that I am a completely bona fide psychiatrist. Here's my diploma in psychiatry from the University of Oxford. This here shows that I'm a member of the British Psychiatric Association, a very important body indeed. Here's a letter from another psychiatrist in which he mentions that I'm a psychiatrist. This is my psychiatric club tie, and as you can see, the cufflinks match. I've got a copy of Psychiatry Today in my bag, which I think is pretty convincing. And a letter here from my mother in which she asks how the psychiatry is going, and I think you'll realise that one person you can't fool is your mother. So, if you'd like to ask me any questions about psychiatry, I bet I can answer them.
No, it's all right, really.
Okay, right, you've got the girl on the bed, you've had a few drinks, you've got a sweater up, and she's got her feet on the mantelpiece. Yes, what is it?
There's a proper psychiatrist to see you, Dr. Rubisberg.
Oh, my God. Okay, thank you. Right, so thank you very much for answering the question, sir. We'll try not to trouble you again, sir.
Well done, Mr. Hamlet. You've done extremely well in our disorientation tests.
Oh.
You see, I'm sorry, it might have confused you a little, but we do this, you see, to try and establish a very good doctor-patient relationship, you see. We do it to sort of, as it were, to break down the barriers, all right?
Yes, fine.
Good. Well, you've got her legs up on the mantelpiece. She's really a knocker.
On behalf of the Psychiatric Association, I should like to say that we are taking firm action to clamp down on the activities of bogus psychiatrists. In fact, in many areas of modern psychiatry, computers are now being increasingly used for the first basic diagnosis, and this has gone a long way towards eliminating the danger of unqualified imposters.
You've had your tongue down her throat, and she's got her leg on the mantelpiece.
Out!
and welcome to Nationwide, the programme where we do rather wet things nationally and also give you a chance to see some rather wet items for regions. Well, everyone is talking today about the Third World War, which broke out this morning. But here on Nationwide, we're going to get away from that for a bit and look instead at the latest theory that sitting down regularly in a comfortable chair can rest your legs. It sounds very nice, doesn't it? But can it be done? Is it possible or practical for many of us in our jobs and with the sort of busy lives we lead to sit down in a comfortable chair just when we want? We sent our reporter, John Dull, to find out.
Well, here I am on London's busy Westminster Bridge, seeing just how much time sitting down can take. Well, I arrived here by train at about 8:50. It's now 9:05, so I've been here for approximately 12 minutes. And if it's any encouragement, I must say that my legs do feel rested.
Is this your chair?
Well, no, it's a prop.
It's been stolen.
What?
This belongs to Mrs. Edgeworth of Pinner. She's standing over there.
Well, it's nothing to do with me. I mean, it's just a prop, which the BBC said...
It's got our name on the bottom.
Well, perhaps you'd better give it back to her.
You don't believe I'm a policeman, do you?
Yes, I do.
What am I wearing on my head?
A helmet.
A policeman's helmet.
Yes.
You see that?
Yes.
That little number down?
Yes.
That is a Metropolitan Area Identification Code. No helmet is authentic without that number.
I see.
Kids' helmets. Helmets you get at toy shops. Helmets you buy at Christmas. None of them has that number. None of them is authentic.
Hang on. Could I...
Hang on! Even some of the more elaborate helmets worn by the Tsar's private army, the so-called Axai, Red Warriors. You know about them?
Well, no, I don't.
Their helmets used to look like it. Have you got any paper?
Well, only these scripts.
Surmounted by a golden eagle on the apex here. Pretty nice helmet, eh?
Yes.
I think the domed helmet has every time over the flattened job, you know, even with a three-cornered or... Do you want something to eat?
Well, no, I mean...
You can't park here, you know.
Well, you're not parked.
Not parked? What's that then?
It's our lunch.
Right. I'm taking it in for a forensic examination.
Why?
Because it might have been used as a murder weapon, that's why. Now, clear off! Yeah, not bad. Could be worse. Beer?
No, please. Honestly. Please. Thank you.
inhabit the area in between the Tigris and Euphrates rivers, their helmets was of the modular restrained kind of type. They had a basic...
Oh, Robert, tell me I'm beautiful.
Well, you are, you are.
Oh, Robert, do you mean that?
Of course I do.
Oh, you're not just saying it because I asked you to.
Of course not.
Oh, Robert... Robert?
Yes?
Are you sure it doesn't put you off?
What?
My father wanting to come and live with us.
No, of course I don't mind your father coming to live with us.
He wouldn't just be living with us.
What do you mean?
Well, he finds it very difficult to get to sleep on his own. So I said he could sleep with us.
He wants to put his bed in our room?
No, of course not. Our bed is plenty big enough for three.
What?
He'd just get into bed and go to sleep.
No, I'm not having that.
Oh, Robert, I thought you loved me.
Well, I do, but...
Well, he wouldn't look.
He's bound to peek.
No, he wouldn't, honestly.
No.
You young couple just carry on. Take no notice of me. I don't want to feel as though I'm getting in the way.
Oh, no, Dad, you're not.
No. Good.
Well, I think I'll get to sleep.
Are you sure?
Oh, yes, I'm a bit tired after the wedding.
Bob, what about you?
Oh, yes, all right, yes.
Well, I seem to be OC lights.
Good night, darling.
Good night.
Good night. A boat.
What?
It's a Cutty Sark. It's a model I've been making in the dark for some years now.
Well, wouldn't it be better with the light on?
No, I'm making it in the dark. That's the point. Oh, dear. Not as accurate as I thought.
It's not the Cutty Sark.
Well, he hasn't got its sails on yet. Oh, well. I'll have a look at it in the dark room in the morning. Good night.
Indifferent, honest. But yet I could accuse me of such things that it were better my mother had not borne me. O fair Ophelia, nymph, in thy orisons be all my sins remembered.
So anyway, you've got the girl on the bed and her legs are on the mat.
No!
Good God, sir, look at that.
Quiet, you'll wake him.
Try, sir.
We'll try to reach the city walls before he wakes up.
Yes, sir.
Shh, quiet.
Try. Sorry, sir.
Too late.
We're saved.
It was a great fight, champ. A great fight, you hear? Oh, boy, what a fight, champ. What a great fight. You nearly had him, champ. You nearly had him. Where's his head?
I got it in here, Mr. Gabriello.
You were great, champ. You hear? You were great.
He got a nasty cut over his eye.
Yeah, I think it was a mistake in wearing spectacles.
Oh, I'll get that sewn onto his body in time for the press pictures.
Okay, Mr. Morrell.
Oh, wasn't he great, my boy?
He was great, Mr. Gabriello.
The way he kept on fighting after his head came off.
He was better when the head came off, Mr. Gabriello. He was really dodging the guy.
I reckon if he could have lasted to the end of that first minute, he would have had to kill a warrant.
Sure, Mr. Gabriello.
Oh, he was great. Did you see his left arm?
No.
Okay, we'll look around the hall after everyone's gone.
Do you realize, Mr. Gabriello, some of those guys out there paid over $2,000 for a ringside seat?
A word is the headland right at the back. That's justice. Oh, what? What do you want?
Is this your boy's head?
No, no, we got his head. He ain't hurt that bad.
Hey, that's Jerry Marinello. He fought the killer last week.
Okay, give it to me. I'm seeing his trainer tomorrow. I'll give it to him.
Oh. Hey, Mr. Gabriello, the press is still outside. You ready for him?
How's the champ?
Well, the head's on okay, but there's still a left arm missing.
Okay, well, I'll keep the dressing gown kind of loose, okay? Okay, boys, come on in.
Hey, Mr. Gabriello, did you expect your boy to last a full 28 seconds?
This boy has never let me down. He's the pluckiest goddamn fighter I ever trained.
Were you worried when his head started to come loose?
No, he was expecting that. I told him to expect it, and he did. He ain't stupid.
Hey, can we have a word with the champ?
Yeah, okay, but keep the question simple.
Hey, champ, how are you feeling?
I said keep the question simple.
Mr. Gabriello, people are saying the kid ought to be buried. His head's come off in the last six fights.
There's no question of burying the kid. He's just reaching the top.
Well, shouldn't he just stay in the hospital?
No, he ain't going to no hospital. He's got the return fight next week.
And there's Frank Sinatra leaving the ring. Behind him is George Raft, another great boxing fan. Martin Bormann, the college in the applause. And with him, of course, is Gus Kimber, who did an awful lot for the sport of his country in the early 1940s. And here comes the champ now. He really seems in good shape to meet the killer once again. Before an audience, some of whom have paid $920,000 million for the privilege of seeing this boy get beaten up. And there's the bell! And a right, and a left, and a right jab that's taken half the champ's shoulder off. And here's the killer again, with a right, and another left, and a bash with a hammer, and a terrific smash with a heavy club right into the skull, and there's a gaping hole right through the champ's body now. And now the killer's working on the cut eye with a series of beautifully placed punches. And the head's coming loose! The champ must try and keep his head on. The killer's kicked him in the groin, and he's bitten half his left buttock off, and the referee stepped into the warning there. What a lucky fighter this champ is. He's fighting as well as I've ever seen him. He must be losing blood at the rate of a fight a second now. It's everywhere. Certainly those who've paid $1.5 million for those ringside seats are really getting their money's worth. They're covered in it. And his head's off!
I wanted to listen to that.
Morning, Mrs. Gorilla. Morning, Mrs. Non-Gorilla. Have you been shopping?
No, been shopping.
Did you buy anything? A piston engine. What did you buy that for?
Ooh, it was a bargain. Ooh. Tweety, tweety. Oh, look at this. Tweety,
wondrous strange. And therefore's a stranger welcome it. There are more things in heaven and earth, Horatio, than are dreamt of in your philosophy. But come, the time is out of joint. Oh, cursed spite, that ever I was born to set it right. Let's go together.
Hello and welcome to Room in Polonius House. The flight is European Cup night. One result in already from Munich. The European Cup. First round, second leg. Bayern München, 4,397. Wrexham, 1. So, Wrexham going through there on aggregate. Well, now it's time for racing. So let's go straight over to Epsom and Brian McNulty.
Well, over here at Epsom, there are chances of plenty for those who want to make a good start in,
Dentistry.
It's a well-off suburb, so most people have their own teeth. And surgeries are opening at the rate of 4 or 5 a week.
Well, it's only 44 minutes from the West End on the train, and it's not too built up, so you can have a nice garden, and the people of Epsom are a very nice class of person.
Well, here in High Street, Epsom, there are ample opportunities for all kinds of redevelopment. As you can see behind me now, there are a high number of low-density consumer units still not fully maximising site value. This could be radically improved by a carefully planned programme of demolition. And, of course, most of the occupants are elderly folks, so they wouldn't put up much of a fight.
Good afternoon. Well, in fact, there's still a few minutes to go before the main race on the card this afternoon, the Queen Victoria Handicap. So let's have a quick word with the winner of the last race, one of this season's top jockeys, Ronnie Mau Mau. Good afternoon, Ronnie.
Afternoon, Brian.
A very fine ride there, Ronnie.
Well, fine horse, Brian. You know, can't go wrong.
You fancy your chances for the Derby?
Oh, very definitely indeed, certainly, Brian.
Well, let's just see if a colleague of yours agrees with that. Let's have a quick word with Desmond Willett. Afternoon, Des.
Good afternoon, Brian. No chance at all.
No, I think you're wrong there, Des. I think with the right kind of going, he's going to be in there at the finish, Des.
There's no chance.
Well, in fact, I can see last season's top jockey, Johnny Knowles. Good afternoon, Johnny.
Hello, Brian.
Could we have a box for Johnny, please? Thank you. That's better. Well, there you are. Three very well-known faces from the racing world. Thanks very much for coming along this afternoon, lads.
Not at all.
And best wishes for the Derby.
Oh, thank you, Brian. Thank you very much.
Well, in fact, I hear they're ready for us now at the start of the main race this afternoon, so let's go right away and join Peter at the start.
Well, they're under starter's orders for this very valuable Queen Victoria Handicap. And they're off. Queen Victoria is the first to go with Queen Jumper, followed by Queen Victoria, Queen Victoria, and Queen Victoria. It's Queen Victoria for Queen Victoria, with Queen Victoria making the early running on the inside. And at the back, Queen Victoria already a couple of lengths behind the leaders. Queen Victoria now moved up to challenge Queen Victoria, with Queen Victoria losing ground, and Queen Victoria tucked in neatly on the stand side with a clear view. Queen Victoria still the back marker as they approach the halfway mark, but making ground now and starting to pass Queen Victoria. With Queen Victoria, and Queen Victoria still well placed as they approach the first fence. And at the first fence is Queen Victoria just ahead of Queen Victoria, with Queen Victoria quarter of a length away in third place. And Queen Victoria in the rear as they come up.
Well, a very exciting race there at Epsom. And we're now over to the European Cup at Barcelona. But the latest news is that Miguel Ortana, the burly Real Madrid striker, was sent off for breaking wind in the 43rd minute. He's already been cautioned for pursing his lips early on in the game, and now he's off. So let's see a playback of that. Brian.
Yes, well, as you can see, there's Atana now. He gets the through ball from Gomez, and he makes no attempt to play the ball. He quite deliberately lets off, and to my mind, he was within the box, and the referee had no option whatsoever but to send him off.
Jimmy? What's Jimmy?
Well, the referees really are clamping down these days. Only last week, the Belgian captain was sent off for having a Sony radio cassette player. And Gonnarelli, that huge Italian defender, was sent off in Turin for having his sitting and dining room knocked through to form an open living area.
Good evening.
We've got the girl on the bed, her legs
out,
up on the mantelpiece.
Out, come on, go on, out!
Wait.
captains, bear Hamnet like a soldier to the stage. For he was likely, had he been put on, to have proved most royally.
And then